And good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. And this is Lambda Weekly, the oldest, longest running gay and lesbian radio show anywhere in the country.
GLBT, actually.
GLBT, yes.
Yeah.
Because we do have the Blitz on the show, too.
Yes.
Not just the Goobles. And this is Pledge Drive. So if you would like to make a pledge to the station that kind of invented gay and lesbian and radio, GLBT radio, give us a call. KNON is the station that has supported the GLBT community and all the other communities here in this city for years and years and years. And, you know, it was funny. On Sunday, we realized how much of a real community we are, because I do the polka show on Sunday afternoon, but I got here early, so I was helping with the Jewish Music Hour. And then the show after polka, the regular host wasn't there, the substitutes weren't comfortable with the board, so I stayed and I helped host the Ethiopian Hour.
Wow.
And then after that,
you go, David.
After that, they just weren't ready to go on the air, so I helped with the next gospel show too. So that's just us at KNON. That's just who we are. But
that's a great reason why D Magazine voted KNON the best radio station in Dallas.
It is. And if you'd like to get our commemorative D Magazine Best Radio Station for 2011 Editor's Choice T-shirt, we do have a new T-shirt. It's a $40 pledge. For a $40 pledge, you can also get the baseball cap or the Patty, or the
deep heather gray ladies.
No.
Or the short sleeve.
The apron, my favorite. Give us a call, Metro 972-647-1893. Polka Doc is standing by, and
he's like ready to take your pledge.
Ready for your pledge. 972-647-1893.
And you can do that in a lot of different ways. You can give us a credit card number, which we don't keep. We just charge it and let it go. And then you can also do a bank draft, where it comes out every month, say $10 a month. That's, you know, you don't miss it too much. And it's pretty painless to do it that way. Or you can write a check. We also have opportunities if your company matches, charitable donations. We'd appreciate a match through your company as well. So you can do this lots of different ways.
One of the new pledge ideas that we have for a $300 pledge gets you all of the summer items below, plus a T-shirt of your choosing. The summer items are a black lunch koozie six-pack cooler with a white Voice of the People design. The nylon cooler is watertight with a front slip pocket and a 32-inch shoulder strap. You also get a jumbo 64-inch black and white windproof umbrella with the KNON Voice of the People logo. And I promise, if you get one of our umbrellas over the next month, you will not get wet. You get a black baseball cap with a white KNON 89.3 FM Voice of the People logo in front, and a lime green opaque KNON Frisbee sports flyer, and a KNON black backpack with the Voice of the People design on front for a $300 pledge.
That's like a chunk of the whole entire KNON line.
It is.
That's pretty cool.
It really is. We have a guest today. Anyway, give us a call, 972-647-1893. Our guest, you know, this is the first time I've done this, but I'm going to start. I've made sure Joe was up this morning.
Morning, Joe. Apparently not, right?
No. I'm nursing the coffee right now.
Our guest today is Joe Hoselton, Jenna Sky. He is the drag queen admissions coordinator.
That's my official title at SMU.
Official title at SMU is drag queen admissions counselor or admissions coordinator for the graduate school at Meadows School of the Arts. The counterpoint is our co-host, Patty Fink, who is the Baylor-shunned alumni.
One of many.
There's Joe. More than one?
Oh, we were everywhere, and we're still out here.
Whole big group at Baylor. The reason I asked Joe, I did an article on, and I just think it's an interesting topic. SMU regularly gets voted by the Princeton Review, actually by the students on campus, and the information is compiled by the Princeton Review, And Princeton Review has lots and lots of categories. My campus, I went to State University of New York at Albany, got voted in the top 20 ugliest campuses, worst food, and dorms like dungeons.
See, and this wow. See, here's my point about that, is that you need more gay people at that campus. We're talking cuisine.
It's a new campus.
Fashion.
It's a color.
It's a new... The campus was built in the 60s and 70s, and it was designed by a gay person.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. It's really not the ugliest campus.
And it's a cave.
It's a very modern campus.
Maybe it was Eagle-inspired.
No. But SMU regularly gets voted... in the 20 most gay-unfriendly schools, and it was number 12. It moved up to 14 2 years ago. Last year it was 16. This year it's back up to number 12. Baylor, on the other hand, which was number 10, and right there above SMU, this year isn't on the list. So, Patty, is it because you have Kenneth Starr as your president of your school that's made your school so gay-friendly?
No, I think it's because the students on campus, when asked the question, put their hands over their ears and said, la, 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 la. So they couldn't, they didn't know how to interpret that.
So, Joe, tell me why you hate gay people.
Why do I hate gay people?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They don't tip very well, maybe.
Seriously, there are several comparisons here. Alumni Association, Joe, on SMU's campus, you have.
We do.
Tell
we
me
have.
About it. What
well,
happened?
I'm not an alumni, so I'm not as familiar, but we have any number of alumni associations. It's one of, I think we're starting our fifth GLBT organization on campus. I'm actually helping start one of those, which is for current faculty and staff. That identify as either GLBT, and we're not going to discriminate. We'll even let the straight people come in. But, you know, there's certainly a place for it at SMU, and so I think any sort of community that wants to be a part, that wants to identify, support, represent, be a part of the GLBT community is certainly welcomed and supported at SMU. And so, I mean, absolutely, the Alumni Association thrives.
I was kind of shocked that SMU made the list again. After all of this,
it's entertaining to me at this point. I would almost be offended if we weren't on the list. I wouldn't get all these interviews and radio shows. I love the media.
No, I promise you, next year, if you're off the list, we're going to do a story about why did you get off
defeat.
The list? What did you do? What did you do? Okay, now, I was talking specifically Alumni Association is what I was bringing up because SMU started a new gay and lesbian affinity group in the Alumni Association this year. Patty, what happened at Baylor when you tried to start an alumni group?
Well, we had a GLBT alumni group at Baylor, at Baylor University. It wasn't officially sanctioned. In fact, we got a cease and desist letter saying we shouldn't, associate the word Baylor with anything gay, basically.
But alumni groups give money to the school.
Sure, absolutely.
So why wouldn't they want that?
I don't know. Maybe they think there's only two of us out here instead of hundreds and thousands. I don't know. I don't understand that. But I have made a regular practice when they have, usually freshmen will call and ask, all of this information about, did you know how many students were in the freshman class this year and all of this and basically buttering me up to give money.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to tell them after we do all of this information and they, get my correct information, demographics, that my partner's name is Aaron Moore, and I would love to give, maybe even a couple of $1,000 to Baylor, but I'm not, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's a stunned silence on the other end, and they and so it's kind of interesting to follow, because I would think that Baylor would be a very homophobic place for a person to get educated.
Okay, so
especially today. Because it, I don't know how many people might be out at Baylor, but we know there are some. We've been in the news. But, I don't think it's every gay person feels comfortable at all.
So here's the question. Baylor is not being voted as a homophobic school anymore, and it is included in the survey. In order to be included in this survey, at least 180 students need to answer the question. And Baylor was ranked in other categories. Baylor... was listed something like it's in the top 20 of most conservative students. I think it was number 17 But SMU,
I'm surprised it's that low.
Well, but SMU was ranked 12th most conservative students, which I thought was interesting, that Baylor doesn't view itself as being as conservative as SMU views itself.
And I think that's the key. I mean, I've been trying to, you know, think about this. Why would students at SMU say that their own school is somehow unfriendly to GLBT people? And, you know, Dave and I talked about this earlier, and maybe it's because it's fresh in their minds about student government not allowing a seat dedicated to the GLBT community on campus. And that's their focus, because they probably have gay friends, and
right.
But that's their connection with what the administration and the thought of mm-hmm. I guess, leadership on campus mm-hmm. thinks.
It's interesting. Well, it's interesting, because even with that, I think they sort of advertise that whole experience as, you know, we don't want the gays on the board, but the reality was it was almost unneeded or unnecessary because the GLBT issues are being addressed. And so having a particular chair, I think they just really want a representative because we have such a strong community on campus. But I think the board was hearing it as though, you know, you're coming to us maybe because you think that your needs aren't being met, but they certainly are.
I'm just thinking that maybe that's what, when they were asked the question or when we went to answer the questions, yeah. That's what popped into their head. And so they said, oh, no, not gay friendly. You know, when in fact, SMU is like way out there in front of a lot of
right.
university campuses across the country.
Well, I think when you're looking at some of the responses, though, like being conservative, being homophobic, we're consistent in the responses, whereas like with Baylor, it's interesting that they're on this list but not that, but they tend to go hand in hand some of these topics.
And it is possible they only publish the top 20. It's possible Baylor fell from number whatever 10 to number 21,
best
and they're no longer on the
finalist list.
And that we don't know.
Right.
And when I called the Princeton Review, they didn't have that information either. But that was something they suggested, that it's not that Baylor wasn't there, it's that Baylor was, you know, number 21 or 22. And they figured they have to be, I mean, in talking to somebody, they have to be in the top 30.
Well, and I would guess maybe a lot of students simply get the question and they couldn't get their quorum of votes on that question.
I'm sure
the other thing I'm thinking is that the attitude on Baylor's campus might have been by enough people who were answering the survey. You know, you have how many students on Baylor's campus? 5,000? 7,000?
Yeah, probably
something
7.
Something like that. That maybe 200 people answered the survey, and the ones who answered were saying, no, we love the gays, and so everything here is good for them.
I think it would throw them for a loop, really. Mm-hmm. They'd either skip it, or they would want to affirmatively convince themselves that they're not judgmental.
Train their eye not to even see the word
right.
on the paper.
It's just a blank.
Yes.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here with Joe Hoselton, also known as Jenna Skye, and with Patty Fink, also known as the late Patty Fink.
I'm still alive.
You are still alive. And you're here. Today is Pledge Drive, and we are waiting to hear from some of our listeners. We need to show the station that we have a certain amount of support in order for the show to continue. We're one of the original shows on this station when KNON went on the air.
In August of 1983.
We
and what
were
is
one
it now?
Shows.
August of 2011.
Mm-hmm. 28th anniversary last week.
Yep.
Wow.
For us. We need to show, though, a certain amount of support. That's number of people who are pledging to us, as well as dollar amount. And our dollar amount is high compared to when we were on Sunday afternoons. So we need you to give us a call. We have a couple of new pledge premiums. We have some DVDs. For a $25 pledge, you can get a DVD. For a $50 pledge, it gets you a choice of DVDs and a t-shirt, hat, or apron. And if you want to know what all the DVDs are when you call in, Polka Doc will have it.
Oh, a couple of them.
There's Van Morrison Under Review, 1964 to 1974. John Lennon, the Rare and Unseen Collection. There's a Bob Dylan one, and Eric Clapton. So we have a number. They're music DVDs. But Doc will have the whole list. He can help you when you call in.
Is there any Elvis? Because, you know, Michelle Bachmann yesterday wished Elvis Presley a happy birthday to an entire crowd, encouraged them to do so as well.
It's Madonna's birthday. Did she say anything about Madonna?
She didn't.
She didn't.
She didn't.
But I think Michelle Bachmann was confused because Elvis's birthday was not in August. His date of death was in August.
Ouch.
So maybe she was actually wishing him a happy death.
I don't know.
He swung his hips, you know.
It was awkward for the crowd, I'm sure.
Might have been.
Happy birthday, Elvis Presley.
You know, among our listeners, I'd like to know who they like more, Michelle Bachman or Rick Perry. Give us a call. 972-647-1893. I think our listeners know Rick Perry better.
972-647-1893.
And we're inviting both of them to come on our show as guests because I know ours is an audience that they'd want to reach out to. But we do have several other pledge drive specials. We have in the studio the Studio Wall of Fame plaques. You can have your name, your band, your business, your church, your team, etc., displayed inside the KNON studios for all the guests to see, all the DJs. It'll be here. Lots of people see it because we have so many different shows on the air here on KNON. The name of your choosing, it's etched on a 15x7 gold plaque, and it is cased in glass with a wood frame. That goes for a $1,000 pledge, so you will be one of the people who will be here in the studio with us, as long as we're here in the studio. The other new pledge that we have is the new pledge referral contest.
This is sort of exciting.
It really is.
You know why? Because the prize for the winner is a $500 gift card to Fry's Electronics.
Ooh.
Now, is that not dangerous?
It is.
I think it's more dangerous than half-price books.
So how do you get it?
You get it by encouraging people who are new to KNON, never pledged before, to make a pledge of at least $40. And the more pledges you get, we're competing with lots of other listeners. So get the most names to give a pledge of $40.
But I don't think it's going to take that many to do.
So I'm just thinking it's like your own little pyramid scheme. I love it.
that's just what it is.
It is, but it's a great way, especially for Lambda Weekly, to seek out your friends and say, hey, this is a show that's been here for us. Let's be there for them now. And, you know, we've had lots of organizations over the years, 28 years. We talk about their events and organizations and the good work they're doing. And, turn around and help us when we need your help as well.
I love it.
It's Pledge Drive now, and it's 972-647-1893. Call in with your pledge.
And you can collect those names over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. You have until October 21st, 2011.
You can either call them into us. If you want to collect all the information, what we'd need is a name, the address, a phone number, and if they're paying by check, just note that we'll send them a card with what their pledge is. To remind them and with an address to send the check. If they're paying by credit card, you can either get the credit card and the expiration date, or you can put credit card and somebody in the station will contact them for that information.
So name and some contact information.
Because a lot of people don't want to, not that they don't trust you necessarily, it's just they don't want the number written down and floating around, so we can just do that on the phone. But the number 972-647-1893. I would love to see one of our listeners win that one. And the other
500 smackers at Fry's.
The other part of it is that if you're the winner, you'll come on to the show and be a guest DJ or a guest or a
absolutely
a DJ guest.
It's a great way to come join us in the studio as a guest.
Sure,
because we would celebrate your presence.
We would. Mm-hmm. Why don't we take a break? We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON thanks Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
KNON depends on listener support to stay on the air. Now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. If you like what you're hearing and want to show your appreciation for great community radio, pick up the phone and call to make your pledge. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. 972-647-1893.
weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. Our guest today is Jenna Skye, who is the graduate admissions coordinator for the Meadows School of the Arts at SMU, one of the most, the number 12 most gay and friendly school in the country. Congratulations.
So terrible. I look over at my picture of Lady Gaga on my desk, and I think, what's going on, Gaga? On my desk, in my office, on the 12th most homophobic place in the country. Terrible.
You know, the other thing about it is, and I looked into this, but of the 20 schools, SMU is the only school that has partnership benefits mm-hmm. and has non-discrimination policies in place
yep.
for GLBNT.
NT.
Those were recently added over the last mm-hmm. maybe 5 years. But it's there.
It's there.
And an on-campus GLBT group and a GLBT alumni group as well.
We've got a faculty staff group that's starting up. We've had allies. It's interesting because we actually met this summer, the allies group, several key people. I mean, allies has always been an organization would have a placard, you know, a rainbow placard that you could put on your door to show that this is a safe zone. It's like the kids, you know, in the neighborhood walking home and you got the friendly wave on the window so you knew if someone was talking to you, you could go to that place and it was a safe house. It's sort of the same thing, but we're noticing now that today's generation of young kids are coming out younger and younger, and so when they get to college, they don't need a place to, you know, someone to talk to in confidence because, you know, they're wanting to change the face of the world. And so we now are trying to keep up with them, and I'm thinking that maybe this directly ties to why we keep appearing on these lists is that we haven't done enough visible things. You know, the partner benefits, for example, they're noticed by those of us who can benefit from them, but does the rest of the campus even realize that we have it or why we have it or that it's important? I don't know if they do or not. And so maybe some of the activities that the GLBT groups are doing, they're doing them conservatively. And
they need more visibility,
right,
obviously.
Right, and so that's
some press.
That's been what our allies group, which has typically been a passive group, we're trying to think of ways to be a little bit more proactive and active, keyword, I guess, across campus and finding activities that we can do and mixers and, you know, just activities like that. And that's really open to anyone. And, you know, you don't have to be a homosexual to be a part of the group necessarily. You know, you can be anybody. And yeah.
Now, the other thing is, Patty, on your campus, how many deans are openly gay?
The last count, zero.
Okay, so that's a Baylor.
I think it's been zero pretty much continuously for the last 28 years.
And I have a friend who's a chemistry professor at Baylor, and she's not just afraid that they'll find out that she's a lesbian. She's afraid of being fired just because she's not married. She's afraid that she's going to be fired if they find out that she's Jewish. I mean, that's the level.
Wow.
That's the level there. Now, that might be going over the top, and actually, if she was fired because she was Jewish, well, I guess they could because they'll claim religious institution and mm-hmm. they're exempt from non-discrimination policies. That
but,
probably wouldn't happen, but just the idea that she's afraid of that.
But I don't know if you remember maybe 8 or 10 years ago, there was an alum who was on the board of the business council that advises the Hickenlooper School of Business at Baylor University in Waco. And he was giving routinely no less than $25,000 a year to Baylor. And somebody just outed him. Somebody somewhere outed him, and they let him go like that. So they don't care about his money. They don't care about his contribution. The fact that he's gay is enough to just rejection, shut him down. It's over. And this is a leader, a successful entrepreneur who was educated at Baylor School of Business, who wants to see it succeed and you know, put out, you know,
the gay thing had nothing to do with any of it.
New yeah. business entrepreneurs,
wow.
you know, and just was slapped down as if he was worthless.
If you have the name, you could pass it over to Joe. I'm sure they would like to make him an honorary alum and would be delighted to have
yes,
his money.
We're in yet another campaign, $1 billion campaign at SMU, so we would love that $25,000.
You'll even give him the honorary degree if that's right. what it takes.
Well, I'm always amazed when we're talking about deans and leadership roles and staff and faculty at SMU. There's a lot of GLBT people.
Oh yeah,
with staff and faculty.
How did they find out that you were gay?
When I interviewed 10 years ago, I had 2.5-inch heel boots on, chunky heels. That was somehow my fashion trend. I was working at Anna Republic. I left a mall job to work at SMU, and it's interesting. I took a pay cut from the mall, but I did so. You know, I sort of dressed less conservatively. I was very fashion forward in my head, and you know, I wore my clodhoppers, as I call them. Because I didn't want there to be doubt. I know that people are going to speculate about me, but I didn't want there to be doubt. I actually had a woman in finance that worked in Meadows that told me after I'd been hired that she said that I interviewed in everything just short of a skirt. And but I needed that because, you know, here I grew up in Arlington, my family, Fort Worth, and so, you know, Dallas was the devil. And, you know, and I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm thinking everything that SMU is believed, you know,
you bought
about
into the stereotype.
I did, yeah, that it's Southern, that it's Methodist, it's all these things. I'm going to get there and they're going to immediately not want me. And so I thought, well, let me realize this now before I relocate to Dallas and quit my job. And, when they offered me the position, I don't want to say it was surprising because I'm sickening at what I do. And so of course I was the obvious candidate, but, I've never once had an issue and they sort of, you know, identified that right away, that this is certainly an accepting place. And
did you start performing as Jenna? And Jenna is one of the performers at S4 on Cedar Springs. Did you start performing as Jenna after working?
After.
Oh, so
I've been at
after.
SMU this September, 10 years.
Wow.
Jenna is only 6.5 years old.
Okay.
I have to digress for a moment, because I'm just curious as heck about this. You know, when I say take your first name and your last name and your first street that you lived on and your first pet's name and all this
stuff.
No, that's
your porn name.
I know. But how did you come up with Jenna Sky?
It's not everyone asks me that because I think that they think we have some formula. And there are funny things that you do all that. But really, I was thinking I need a name that people, if someone calls this out in a room, am I going to respond? You know, if they're not calling me by my name, not realizing that when I'm in certain contexts, I don't respond to Joe at the bar more often than not. People will be screaming Joe across the bar and I don't interrupt. But I picked a J name that was my generation. And initially I was a Jennifer because I went to school with like 6 Jennifers. And so I thought the J will get my attention. And then if it's a Jennifer name, I might respond. And so when I was given my last name, Sky, 2 Y's like the vodka, I didn't like the sound of Jennifer Sky, and so someone recommended shortening, and that's when we came up with Jenna.
I did sort of the same thing in high school in French class, because my French teachers didn't typically speak English in class, and I wanted to make sure if Patty rolled off their tongues, I might not hear it. So that's when the only place in my life I've ever gone by Patricia. So it was long enough it would get my attention.
Yeah.
So I could hear it.
Yeah. Not interesting.
Cool.
But it's, you know, it's funny because when I look back over my life, when I'm considering my career in drag, everything that I've ever really done has sort of led to my success as an entertainer, and SMU is certainly a part of that. I'm in a school, in the Meadows School in particular, that is saturated with some of the best talent in this country. We have the top theater students going to any school. We have the top music students, the top dancers, and just to be in that building and to see so much talent, and to see so many kids learning to be self-sufficient, it was really inspiring to me. And, you know, I'd started graduate school as an employee benefit. This homosexual got to go to grad school for free through SMU. If I were married, I could get insurance, things like that. I love this place. And so, you know, I could easily be there another 25 or 30. But to see all these kids doing such great things, I mean, it pushed me to want to do more things. And so when I first had the idea that, you know, I might want to be a drag queen, it was really easy for me to get started. I had so many resources there. I could talk to the students about what do you do with this, and the theater students were the biggest help initially, just building costumes and props, you know, with hot glue guns and cardboard. You know, it's amazing what you can do with a stapler.
But they had a lot of opinions and suggestions that were, you know.
They did, and it was never do it this way or do it that way. It was very much try anything. And I think every student, and they would, you know, give their own examples of this is what I do, and this is where I did, and this is how I did. And it's really interesting to see students who just, they want to be performers so bad that really there's no right or wrong way to do it. Just go out and do it and enjoy it. And the way these kids walk around campus, just tall and confident and exceptional at what they do, it's really...
And homophobic.
And, of course.
I just gotta ask
except the gay ones.
Now, have you performed on campus?
I have.
Oh, yeah.
I have. Let's see. What have I done on campus? I've hosted the staff talent show.
In drag?
In drag, twice. And it's... they do it every year, usually in October or November. And... let's see, I did it 2 years ago and 4 years ago, I believe. Yeah, 2 years ago and 4 years ago. And it's done in the middle of the day. It's like a lunch event that's about an hour, hour and a half long. I've done the Gala Prom, which has been on campus for a decade or more, I guess. Our bingo group, which is this Saturday, rcdallas.org, shameless plug. We've done that two or three times. What else? Oh, we had a graduation inevitably. This year, actually, it wasn't. But typically, it's on the third weekend in May, which is gay bingo. And 2 years ago, I had to work graduation, and graduation starts at 6, and gay bingo starts at 6. And it was an important show that day, and so I was at graduation in full-blown Jenna Sky. Full-blown. You know, it's no big deal. I'm backstage for all that, but the students thought it was awesome.
President of the school, he must have something to say about all this.
I hadn't to me. I hope not. Actually, you know, the first time I did the staff talent show, there was a particular provost on campus that was notoriously conservative, I guess. and
probably went to Baylor.
Maybe. But strangely enough, when it was being advertised that I was going to be hosting, immediately I started getting phone calls that he had reserved a ticket, and someone who didn't normally go to such an event. And I actually made it a point toward the end of that, after performing and, you know, getting a good crowd response and, you know, lots of compliments from people, I made it a point to have my little soapbox moment and tell everyone that, you know, how long I'd been at SMU and how I love driving in every day to such a beautiful campus, to such a beautiful place, and feeling honored to be at a place that allows me to do this. And I pointed to the fact that I was in drag and to be exactly who I am and to do the things that I enjoy doing in front of people who are receptive to anything and who want to get up and do their thing on a stage, and that we celebrate everyone's diversity, everyone's talent, everyone's identity. And I wanted to say that in a room that was going to appreciate it in front of someone who probably showed up not appreciating it. And he came up and shook my hand after the show.
Awesome.
And so
that's really wonderful.
Yeah. And he was the very same person who, when I was in Wonder Woman drag at the tailgate party on Halloween, the time SMU since their ban, you know, in 20 years, was on ESPN. And this was several years ago.
Had the death penalty.
Yes, we did. Yeah. It was terrible. Walking down the boulevard, full on Wonder Woman, and one of the Cox School staff members that I worked with, now a vice president, staff can grow up at SMU, thought it would be entertaining to go and introduce me. And the look I got, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That what a university really should be?
It should be.
Diverse and expanding ideas and clash of ideas and people who wouldn't normally be exposed to certain. That's what a university is.
Right.
If it isn't that, it's Baylor.
We had Rand Paul and the Nose Brothers. I was at Baylor when he was at Baylor when I was at Baylor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you knew him?
I didn't know him. No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, and did he influence you?
Not a bit.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNOM FM. I'm Dave Taffet here with Patty Fink. It is Pledge Drive. The number is 972-647-1893. One thing that you can do is you can pledge online. Just go to KNOM.org and hit the pledge button. You can also go to lambdaweekly.com and hit the pledge button, and it'll get you right to that page.
And certainly for those who are listening on the podcast later in the week, and if this is, you know, like Saturday and you're listening to this now, you can still go to knon.org or lambdaweekly.com and click that pledge button, and be sure to note our show, Lambda Weekly, and you know, give us a pledge. That's really important to support KNON and Lambda Weekly, you know, with your generous donation. And any amount is welcomed.
One of the pledge premiums is the Elite Music Sponsor. Patty, what is that?
That's where, for a pledge of $500, you and a guest are invited, you know, free of charge, automatically to every event that KNON puts on during the year. And they are vast. They are vast, and they're really wonderful.
It's like something almost every weekend, sometimes two or three things in a weekend.
Absolutely. There's most of the events have food involved, most definitely live music. If you want to come to the Mardi Gras Gumbo Party, the Grateful Dead Halloween Party, the Tejano Mardi Gras, the Blues Diva Fest, reggae concerts, polka dances, harmonica blowout, where are you going to find this stuff except at KNON? Mm-hmm. So for $500, you and a guest can just cruise the next year going to these really wonderful events.
And it usually includes food.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Total VIP. I love it.
It is.
So, you know, you don't even have to worry about, do we have tickets? Where are they? You know, did I get them in time?
There'll be a will call for you. Nice. You'll be a VIP KNON person and two tickets to everything we do. Or you can just pledge. A $40 pledge gets you a T-shirt, cap, or an apron. We have, for a $75 pledge, that new black and white windproof umbrella. It really is a nice umbrella. It's a nice big one, 64-inch umbrella that'll keep you nice and dry in this monsoon season that we've been having.
And it could keep you, you know, it could be a parasol. It could be a jumbo parasol.
Well, I guess you could use it for that, too.
When you have your two KNON concert chairs underneath your umbrella.
We do have those concert chairs for a $150 pledge. You get two concert chairs, one chair for a $100 pledge, 972-647-1893.
Give us a call. 972-647-1893. And one of the best things here is this new T-shirt we have commemorating our KNON's vote by D Magazine as best radio station in Dallas.
You know, we need to make one up that says best radio show on the best radio station, which makes us...
Exactly.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Which makes us God knows what.
it makes us old. We're 28 years old.
Something like that. Another one for a $30 pledge, we have KNON coffee. It's the full city roast 8-ounce bag. You get two bags for $50. And right after the show, I'll be sticking around for the Amy Goodman show. Patty's going out to the slopes of KNON to actually pick the coffee beans to make the coffee.
I have to do it before it gets up to 106.
You do, although it's real humid out today, so it's not going to be pleasant out there. Although when you get to the top of KNON Mountain here on Maple Avenue, it might be cooler up there.
Well, and I will slide my way down.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly, 972-647-1893. We'll be back with more right after this.
Another way you could support your favorite show on KNON is by starting a KNON bank draft. Sign up now and support the voice of the people every month. It's easy and convenient, and a great solution for you if you're not always able to call during pledge drive. An automatic monthly draft will occur from your checking account. You can select the amount, $10 or more. Bank drafts provide a steady source of revenue for the station and can be started by calling 972-647-1893 right now. The total amount drafted each year is immediately credited to your favorite KNON program, and you'll receive your choice of gifts as soon as the draft begins. Pledge a dollar a day to keep your favorite station on the air every day. That's only $30 a month, and it goes a long way towards keeping KNON alive. It's time for you to be good to your ears. Make a pledge to KNON that keeps on giving.
Hello, I'm Pastor Bernita Tyler Scott, and it is time for us to get Shoes for My Children. As you know, Shoes for My Children is a local 501c3. We do help low-income and disadvantaged children. Full area, Dallas and Fort Worth, to get Shoes for My Children. For more information, 817-453-4474 or 214-371-1251. Again, that number is 817-453-4474 or 214-371-1251. I am Pastor Bernita Scott. We do need your help with Shoes for My Children.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. It is Pledge Drive. The number is 972-647-1893. Operators are standing by.
And again, that's 972-647-1893. Give us a call and support Lambda Weekly and KNON.
And, you were mentioning all the events that we have. We need to do a Lambda Weekly event, too.
We do. We haven't done one in a while.
We haven't done one in a while. The last one we did was the Underwear Auction.
It's been too hot to do anything.
Coming into September, maybe October, we will do something.
It'll be cool. We'll have to wait till November.
Do they have to be outside?
No, they don't. They can be inside in a nice air-conditioned van.
They invented this thing a few years ago called air conditioning.
They did. But this studio is air-conditioned. Our old one wasn't.
Oh, wow.
It got hot up in the old crack house that we used to...
The old crack house from. In Old East Dallas.
Right.
I miss the pigeons, though.
I do miss them.
You know, and if you'd like the pigeons to come back, you could give us a call and give us a pledge that we could support pigeons for KNON as well. 972-647-1893.
But you know something? The money that you do pledge to KNON goes directly to the operations of the station. It's for the electrical bill, the phone bill, all the basics. It doesn't go to anything else. It doesn't go to big salaries. It doesn't go to modern equipment. Our announcements that you listen to are done on an 8-track system.
It is state of the art 8-track.
The best technology 1978 has to offer.
but it is done on 8-tracks.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 972-647-1893. Our board was donated. When one of the other stations here in town was getting rid of their ancient equipment, KNON picked it up in order to update us by about 10 years. So we are up to 1980s technology here at KNON. Your money goes to basic broadcasting, to the basics, really. The amount that we're raising in a year is less than that other station raises each quarter. So
right.
Give us a call, 972-647-1893. And our guest this morning is Jenna Skye, who is the graduate admissions coordinator at the Meadow School of the Arts at SMU, also known as Joe Hazelton. I think that's your S4 name.
No, that's my non-stage name.
Non-stage. I got it.
All the world is a stage, though. So, you know.
Does the dean of your school have a drag name? Have you?
No. Good question.
Need to give.
We
one.
Need to work on that. Actually.
Yeah, and the president of your school needs one too.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one.
And while you're at it, if you could think up one for Ken Starr at Baylor, that would be awesome.
Ken Starr is almost a drag name in itself. You just get a second syllable for that first name. And
Kenna.
Right.
The reason we're talking today is that the Princeton Review recently came out with its rankings of different schools around the country, and there are several dozen different categories that that schools are ranked in. SMU regularly gets ranked in the 20 most gay-unfriendly schools in the country, and based on policies, the school doesn't fit. It's the only one that has non-discrimination policies, mm-hmm. that has partnership benefits, that has sanctioned by the school gay clubs. It's the only one that has...
An alum association GLBT alum. As you just said, Joe, staff and faculty.
Mm-hmm. And programs that are supported by the school itself, not just student-initiated, but supported by the school itself. Dallas, by the way, has the distinction of being the only city in the country with two schools on the list, because University of Dallas is also on the list. Texas is the only state in the country that has three schools on the list, because A&M is also on that list.
Are we surprised?
The only state school on the list, which is kind of...
disappointing.
Not just disappointing, but you would think a private institution, especially a religious institution, has a right to discriminate based on anything. A state school doesn't have the right. Our tax dollars are going to support a school where gay students are being discriminated against. That's, you know, not acceptable.
I like to view it in the positive that surveys are purely opinion,
mm-hmm.
and we Texans are opinionated. So, of course, we should be on the top of every list. Be it good or bad, it's still an opinion.
Now, you might have hit on something that is part of the reason that more schools in this area do get on the list. Are we just more opinionated and just not blasé about it, whereas, you know, a school in Iowa might just say, this is Iowa, yeah, we have gay marriage, yeah, we're not gay unfriendly here. And here we're going by stereotype. Yeah, we're the most. Yes, yeah.
I would think that maybe the reason that there is a most on the conservative side is because it's trying to combat the fact that more of us are not, and that there is a predominantly large and effective and out and visible GLBT community going on statewide, that, you know, the people who are terribly out of favor of the community and what we do and what we stand for, and if we even stand for things anymore, that they're trying to find a balance. And so I think when you have one extreme, there's always the other. And mm-hmm. so maybe that's the case, is that anytime you have a strong and visible anything, you're going to have an anti equally strong.
Mm. I don't know if there's a correlation, too, maybe with, you know, Texas A&M is a state school, and thus a lot of people in lots of different backgrounds across Texas attend Texas A&M. It's a tough school, but it's a state school,
mm-hmm.
whereas the others are private. And we know from the last census that the majority of the population in the state of Texas lives in an urban environment. And a rural Texan is in minority, definitely. So I'm just wondering how that plays in the A&M view. If they have a lot of rural students
right.
that come, maybe they don't. So if you look at the major population centers in Texas that are urban, obviously, Democratic.
Right.
Dallas County's blue. Harris County's coming blue.
What I love about election years is when they show the maps, you know, in the red and the blue, and Texas is a red state, but when you zoom in, it's got all these blue freckles, and it's where every city
blue
is.
Blotches, you
yeah.
Because it's different. So I wonder if that's all mixed together in the demographics.
Hmm. Could be. You know, it's probably a little bit of all of it. There's probably not one answer to that.
So who's the top of the list?
Wheaton College in Illinois.
Really?
It's mostly Bible colleges. Do you know what other school dropped off the list? Brigham Young.
Really?
Which, they're not gay friendly. Let me just clue you in on that one. But I think they dropped off the list because the Mormon perception is, we don't support gay marriage. We're not going to, we're going to campaign against same-sex marriage in California and anywhere else that it comes up. But they also did support non-discrimination policies that passed in Salt Lake City. And when Salt Lake City passed, with the blessing of the Mormon Church, something like a dozen other cities in Utah passed non-discrimination policies, too, in housing, employment, and public accommodations. So
Tennessee could learn something from Utah.
Maybe they could.
You know, because Tennessee rolled it all back.
And said, absolutely illegal.
I have dated so many Mormon boys.
Have you really?
Yes.
Are any of them running for president?
No. I don't think so.
just curious if there's
I'm sure if I dated
they are,
them.
We want to know. In your official capacity, do you get students who come to you particularly?
Yeah. Actually, your articles in the Dallas Voice have sent a lot of people my way that aren't even my students. And I think the fact that I work in admissions and in a recruitment capacity helps entice them, I guess, to want to contact me, because they feel like I am a good resource in that respect. But I've had dads call me, mothers call me, the students themselves call me. And again, it's not because they're they're concerned about, you know, how's it going to be when I get there. I think the parents are thinking that, you know, they've seen their kids succeed at their high school, you know, and they want to be sure that if they come to SMU that they're sending their kid off to a place that's going to be safe for them. And you know, I've got to do everything short of snapping three times in a circle to let them know that it's okay. You know, it's totally okay. But you know, if they go to a Google search and they type in gay in SMU, often those articles show up, which I appreciate, because then they know to contact us. And I want those conversations. I want people to be aware that SMU is a fantastic place all around for anyone, not just
And here's another reason it doesn't fit on the list. More than just you want them to contact you, I think the school administration
wants them to
contact you, too.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I appreciate that they call me because I am a gay man, but at the same time, they could call and talk to anyone, any of the admissions counselors they can talk to. And I think that's one of the first things I say is that don't feel like you just have to find, you know, the GBT people on campus to talk to about this sort of thing. You can really talk to absolutely anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a funny story. 10 years ago, when I first started, I went to an allies training on campus, in my mind, thinking that was where I was going to meet the other gay people. And, you know, who else on this campus is maybe having insecurities like myself? And I quickly learned that there was no room for insecurities there. And I was in a room full of heterosexual people. And they, for various reasons, you know, one was wanting to learn more about the GLBT culture and community because they were attending a Methodist church that is accepting of all lifestyles. Another one was a residence hall director that she was concerned, you know, if I have a student come up and say, well, if my girlfriend is in my dorm room in a female dorm, you know, are we going to have to walk out separately? You know, things like that, you know, what's appropriate, how...
All the silly stuff.
Yeah, and it you know, someone in athletics, you know, that they just were learning that, you know, there were too many gender stereotypes about women in sports, and so they wanted to dispel for themselves, and it was impressive to me to see people so forward-minded, you know, and I was still...
And wanting to educate themselves, recognizing
educate
that
themselves,
they don't
exactly.
have enough education.
Yeah, and that was 10 years ago, and I mean, that wasn't new then, but again, it was... I'd been at SMU for, I guess, a month or two at that point, and in that month or two, my first month or two at SMU, I was discovering this about the general population at SMU, that they were forward-minded. They announced 10 years ago the partner benefits. There was so many things going on at SMU when I first started that really I knew immediately that this is a place that anyone can call their home, particularly me, and not have to feel like I had to take a step back into any sort of closet. So it's mm-hmm. it really is a fantastic place.
And when you were on campus at Baylor, Patty, you were out, weren't you? Or you didn't come out till later? When
no,
did you
actually,
come out?
I didn't come out until the year after.
After you graduated, okay? Because I was going to ask you, did you know gay people on campus?
Well, we, you know, I think most people know that they're well, not know they high probability. Let's put it that way. It's a high probability friends because I think it was not. Copacetic at all to come out to anyone else on campus. I came back though, having you know, lived overseas, and came back in the middle of the Iranian hostage crisis in 1980, and it was halfway through that when I started at Baylor, and I was just taken aback by the level of animosity against anyone brown from the Middle East. It was really disturbing to me. So I couldn't even fathom what would happen to someone who was gay, who came out on campus and was gay. It's really disturbing to me, and I would hope that's changed since then, but I highly suspect it hasn't. We've not been invited back to find out.
And that's so different from my experience. And I went to school about 10 years before you did, and I mean I was at a left wing liberal school though, where we already
that
had
still
it.
Still needs help. It needs some
people who were straight struggled coming out. The Republicans didn't come out.
Not particularly. We are just about out of time.
Can I show you something?
Yeah.
This have you heard the news this morning about this Scandinavian Airlines flight that's been grounded in Stockholm on its way to the U.S. because there's a mouse on board?
Oh.
And I suspect that this mouse has been all over the world. That's just my theory.
It's
been hopping from plane to plane.
Wow. Hmm.
So. I hope he keeps him on the ground for a long time. Go, Mouse!
Well, Joe, good luck in getting off of the homophobic list this year.
Thanks.
Stop hating on the gay people.
It's my fault.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This has been a lot of fun. You are listening to Lambda Weekly. Next week, our guest is Rod Gray from Home for the Holidays. Also,
yay.
He happens to co-host... Gay Bingo with
Gay Bingo
you.
Dallas.
As for...
As third Saturday of every month. This coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday. This is the part of our program where our producer, Thomas Pearson, comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence. And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week. You can still call in. Make a call. I'll still be here for the next hour. 972-647-1893 is our number. And call in. Make a pledge.
Listening to the KNON Morning Line. We'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.